alive, bitches. It's showtime.
Did you hear how you were born? Two boxcars crashed together and you popped out of the hobo's butt.
Dave and Danny live from Lower Greenville at Goodwin and Greenville Avenue at the brand new Doty's. Is it Cajun Seafood Grill? What's the proper name?
I don't know.
I do know it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Oh, my God.
It's a wonderful place with lots of televisions to watch.
Thanks, T.
The Texas OU game.
You're a good man.
And also have your favorite Mexican beer with a lime, is that what we're supposed to say?
I was not given any copy bullet points for today, so
I'm guessing that's what we're supposed to say.
Okay.
But please, they're open. Come down here and get yourself a good spot to watch the game. There's already a good crowd assembled. Mm-hmm. Seems like a mostly pro-Texas crowd.
I've seen a couple of OU shirts. I've seen a lot of khaki shorts and dudes
burnt
in
orange tops
in the faux vintage, already pre-worn in T-shirt.
Yeah,
a lot of that, a lot of flip flops. But the one thing that Texas OU brings out is the official outfit of the college girl, and that is the sundress and cowboy boots.
Hey now,
you will see a lot of that today.
Probably more of that down at the fairgrounds, mm-hmm. but you may end up seeing some of it out here on Greenville.
I've already seen a little bit of it. You
have
got
you?
Caught seeing a little bit of it.
I didn't see anything.
Okay. We're having fun now, aren't we?
And one thing that totally took us by surprise, so, I mean, not that it's shocking, because surely it was long coming.
It was long coming, and stop calling me Shirley.
But I seriously doubted the validity of the source because it was told to us by Dave Wilson, our board op.
And he's always wanting to screw us up.
Yeah, he's always
like
wanting us to fail and give false information on the air.
That's not true. That's your producer.
But he's not even there today.
Yeah,
no.
We don't have a volunteer producer today.
Mm-mm.
But evidently, the godfather of the AFL, the owner and founder of the Oakland/LA/Oakland Raiders, Al Davis, is dead
at the age of 117.
Stay hard.
His forehead and face lesions finally just ate up his whole body.
That's a monumental death in the world of sport.
That's from their team website, so I think it's legit.
So, Krennic, yeah. What is his actual age? Or
got
was his actual
something,
age?
87. How old is that old bastard?
He was born in July 4th, 1929. What's that?
Well, he's 82.
Yeah, 82.
I'm not good at math.
Wow.
So that puts Jerry on the death clock.
Well, Jerry's not even close to being that old, is he? How old is Jerry? Is he in his 70s now?
Probably late 60s.
Yeah. I would say 67, 68.
Yeah, see, I wonder, because, you know, there are so many Cowboy fans. I think they're misguided Cowboy fans who want Jerry to sell the team or turn it over to Steven and retire
or they
hire a football man.
They haven't gotten over the way he done Landry.
Yeah, there are so many people that have so many scenarios to get rid of Jerry. I wonder if there are similar fans in Oakland that are high-fiving the death of Al Davis.
Nah.
I bet there are. I bet there's a lot of people that thought that as long as he was running stuff that things were never going to change up there.
Yeah. I mean, they've gotten off to a reasonable start this year, and their new head coach, Blackie Ferguson, is...
Is that his name?
I don't know his name.
Hugh Jackson, I think.
Hugh Jackman?
What is... Wolverine is coaching the Raiders?
Hugh Jackson.
Oh, Hugh Jackson. That he's
also
actually...
Jerry turned 69 on Thursday.
Hey now.
Hey now.
I wonder if he celebrated by doing the same.
By doing what?
Celebrating his age.
by reenacting it.
Oh, yeah, that number. The awkward sex number that is really of no pleasure to anybody. There's too much.
Again, as we have discussed before with the tricking up of pornography,
mm-hmm.
that really when you engage in that number with someone, it's just to prove that you can. It's just to prove that you talk them into doing that.
Yeah, it doesn't really work in real life because there's too much shifting of focus. You need to focus on one thing at a time. That's why the menage is always a bad idea.
So anyway, Al Davis dead at the age of 82.
Yes. And happy birthday, Jerry.
How long ago was his birthday?
Who, Gerald Jones?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But there's one thing that I can tell you is...
We have an interloper.
Lower Greenville's getting a little more exciting. I'm starting to see more folks.
I want to tease this. I don't want to reveal who our special guest might be, but... Mm-hmm. We will have a special guest that will help us ruin the rest of the show. But I want to...
Is it Fred Akers?
No, it's not Fred Akers.
Damn it, Fly.
I want to know, are you going to watch today's game?
The football ball game?
Yeah, the Texas OU or OU Texas.
Well, I'll watch the first hour up here, obviously.
Well, it's over our shoulder. Well, we can't really watch it.
We can turn around and face the TVs.
Shut up! Shut up, fire truck.
What are you, two?
No,
I'll watch the rest of it.
Yeah,
unless it's just a complete total blowout.
See, I will watch it, but you know, I'm in such a my rooting interest has waffled over the years.
Yes.
I used to support UT. I used to hold dreams of going to UT Austin mm-hmm. when I was a younger guy before I gave up on life.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in life, when I became friends with Corby and Junior, I started to have a soft spot in my heart for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Just because I would, accompany them on road trips or go to games with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never really a fan of one or the other. And I've always just kind of rooted for a good game. But maybe it's just because I'm old and cynical and I hate my life, but I kind of root for a 0-0 tie today, and I hope that both Bob Stoops and
Mac Brown,
I hope they both get diarrhea on the sidelines.
At the same time?
Yeah.
And just mess themselves right there in their khakis?
Yeah.
Well, that's a strange request.
And then they have to clean themselves with their play sheets.
Or their challenge flag.
They don't have challenge flags.
They should. Just for that special purpose.
So, yeah, I don't really care what happens today. But God bless you if you're in town spending your money in Dallas supporting one of these teams. I will be home avoiding you tonight.
I wish I was.
Yeah, although Danny will be squarely in the Bermuda Triangle of Texas OU weekend.
It's more like the Vietnam of the Red River Shootout, Dave.
Yeah, I guess because we're in the modern age,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that the West End still does good business from just the dumb tourist that doesn't know where to go. But the college-age kids have all figured it out. So they know all about McKinney Avenue and West
Henderson.
Village and Henderson and Greenville. So all these places that we ordinarily would go are going to be crawling with Texas OU people tonight. And you and your dumb country band are going to be playing for those people.
Yes, we are.
Do you want to divulge where, or do you want to keep that under the radar?
I don't care. I mean, it's not like there'll be room for anybody to get in.
I know.
It's going to be so packed.
It's going to be one in, one out,
yeah.
And the fire marshal's going to be circling the block at Capitol Pub tonight.
It'll be a good time, though. We've done it a couple years ago, and it's a blast. People are hammered.
Well, I hope you drag a sun-dressed, cowboy-booted, date-rapeable whore out of there.
Well, thank you for your good wishes, Dave. I can't wait to hear what you ask for Christmas.
All right, coming up next...
Oh, God.
He is... Let me just say he is... probably the most loved and recognizable ticket personality in the history of the ticket.
Yes, coming up next, Greg Williams joins the orphanage.
That's right.
Hey there.
Conrad Metal and Rich Phillips and NASCAR.
It's 10:35 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is the Orphanage. Dave and Danny with you until noon from Doty's on Greenville Avenue at Greenville and Goodwin. And they are showing the game here, of course, and people are drinking here already. And we are joined by a special unscheduled interloper. The Ticket's own Gordon Keith. Hi, Gordon.
Hey, America.
Hi, Gordon.
I was driving like very close to here, and I turned over to the Ticket, and I heard you guys were here.
Just tell everybody where you were. It's okay.
Was it the Gold Rush?
Yes, the delicious Dallas
Cafe.
Establishment.
Support,
the Gold
support
Rush.
Your local business.
Trying to once again another futile attempt to drink away kind of a hangover. You know, you just if I can get enough grease in there, that's going to make a difference.
How'd that work out? Good?
It didn't.
Did you drink three bottles of wine last night?
No.
I bet you did.
Last night was beer.
Uh-oh. So you're back on the sauce, huh?
Oh, man, I'm so on the sauce.
You had about 2 years off the sauce, right?
I think, like seven.
What?
Yeah.
But now you're back with a vengeance.
I got to make up for lost time.
High five.
So you're that disease only goes one way, baby.
You're living the Henry Chinaski dream right now?
Henry Chinaski? Yeah. Oh, is that Barfly?
No, yeah. Yes.
You know, I've never read that. I never even saw the movie.
Well, Barfly is not a book.
I thought he wrote it as a book. Is it only a screenplay or something?
Yeah, it's an adaptation of essentially his life.
Right.
Or the period of Bukowski's life.
Have you seen that? Somebody sent me a documentary one time. The one where he kicks his wife on that couch. They're,
is it,
they're sitting there talking.
Is it called Born Into This or something like that?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
him doing his readings and just getting wasted and
smoking and it's about his
cigarettes.
Life.
Yeah.
And I think he goes back to his childhood home.
Yeah. I've got that. I ordered that about 2 months ago, and it's still at my house sealed. I've yet to watch
it. It's pretty good.
I heard it's really cool.
He's
I'm a big
sitting
fan
there,
of his.
We're talking about Charles Bukowski.
Yes.
Bukowski. And
no.
He's sitting on the couch, and they're just interviewing him and his wife, and they're kind of having a little bit of a disagreement and everything, and he just snaps and kicks at her. It's so violent.
Well, I mean, everybody does that, don't they?
I guess.
So anyway, you're drinking beer. How's that working out for you?
Great.
Yeah? How many beers did you have last night? Six-pack?
Oh, probably. Yeah.
I can't tell if you're lying or not. Were you at the house?
No, I was out.
You took a cab, though, right?
I was out. I went to the Monk and then to the Slip Inn.
Are you telling the truth?
Mm-hmm.
So you just decided, hey, it's Friday night. I'm in the neighborhood. I'm going to go out and have a few pops.
And at the Slip Inn, having a few pops, watching people dancing on that wheels-off concrete pad clearing that they have between booths.
Were they playing gangster rap?
No, but
I'm playing hip hop.
Everyone I was surrounded by seemed to be a gangster rapper.
Yeah, it's got an urban flair.
Yeah,
which there's nothing wrong with that.
Hey,
I love
that.
So I
pull into the parking lot at Slip Inn last night,
mm-hmm.
and in
your cab?
No, it was in my vehicle, and I open my door, and it hits the vehicle next to me.
Was it an Escalade?
And like I pull it back, you know, to get it off. No, it was like a, I was going to say PT Cruiser, but it wasn't a PT Cruiser.
That's the budget Escalade.
Yeah. But anyway.
It's the Escalade for the gangster on a budget.
Yeah.
It was a Dodge Nitro.
For the reasonable gangster.
The frugal homie.
So I hit the car next to me, and then I'm like, oh, sorry, you know, whoops. And then I pull the door in a little bit.
Yeah.
But then when I'm trying to get out of my car, I hit the thing
God
again.
Almighty.
So I hit this thing twice.
Is there somebody
out
in
there?
It?
Well, I didn't think so. But then I get out and I close my door, and all of a sudden the driver's side opens on
Cheech and Chong cloud comes out.
And out steps some man who at one point must have played in the NBA. I mean, like, I just keep looking up at this.
Like Sean Bradley?
Yeah, the ebony tower of human that's standing outside this Escalade on a budget. And so I'm thinking, all right, well, it was a good life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I had, the ticket job was fun and everything. It was a pretty good life.
The TV show ran for a while.
Wrote some words in and published. I don't know.
Everybody loves fake Jerry. Come on.
I didn't kill quick. I mean, it just happened.
Pretty good life. Pretty good. So, but the guy was like, really, I fortunately ran into the most mild-mannered, wronged black man ever. And he was very nice.
He wasn't demanding reparations.
That's offensive. Oh, you mean reparations for the damage to his vehicle?
Yes.
No, he didn't. So I, said, "Hey, man, sorry about that. It was an accident."
Did it leave a mark or anything?
It was so dark you couldn't see if there was a mark.
Couldn't see him.
So
let me take you inside and buy you a Hennessy. Is that what you did?
No. Here, let's go inside and see if we can't find you a white woman. Come on in, and I'll see if I can hook you up. I used to write for Quick.
used to write for Quick. Because can you imagine if you were still writing for Quick?
Oh, I'd be really tearing it up.
Oh, man.
So, anyway, he was nice about it. But he did kind of he was the passive-aggressive kind black man, because he was, hey, man, no problem, but... if you weren't parked across the line, that wouldn't have happened.
Oh, okay.
And
so he was like the black Larry David.
And at this point, I already had a little bit of liquid courage in me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I'm that far over the line.
So you Larry Davided him.
Yeah, I couldn't let it go.
No.
But fortunately, he was nice, and things de-escalated, and we both wanted to get in there and find us a white woman. So we had common goals.
Yes.
So we didn't want to stand around,
Were you on a
sword fight
time
in the parking lot?
Were you on a solo Gordo adventure? Or did you have a posse?
I was there with friends.
Okay.
I mean, I arrived there by myself because it's Dallas and we all have to take our separate cars to the next location.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you may want to break off
right
at some point and
yeah,
you don't want to have to have somebody drive
right
you back.
I could have had to peel out of the formation.
Right.
So, yeah.
So
it was fun.
That was good times for you?
Good time.
Hip hop dancing.
It was
and
fun.
Drank some. What's your beer of choice? You like the Miller Lite, Gordon? You still drinking that?
No. When you're at the Monk, you got about a million different choices.
Yeah, you
got
to drink like.
So I just point
50% alcohol content Chimay.
Everything's IPAs and alcohol content 40.
That's beer? It's weird.
And then it arrives, and it's just so it's thick as syrup, and you feel the calories, you feel the bloat going on.
Yeah, it's what the monks drank to get them through the winter.
Yeah,
and you're
where they could put on their whale layer.
Right. Yeah. I'll have a pint of mead. Thank you.
So, yeah, the Monk, it's all weird stuff you drink.
Yeah, it's still a great bar.
Mm-hmm. It is. And
As is Doty's,
absolutely. Doty's, wonderful. But
get yourself a Mexican beer with a lime.
And some gumbo.
That other establishment we were talking about has really good food, too.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I've had some good food in that place.
Solid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very solid.
The slip-in, you mean?
No. What does the slip-in serve?
Wings?
Catfish?
No, you're thinking of Doty's.
Yeah, they have
indeed
great
yes
catfish
yes
at Doty's.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you're still a little hungover.
Yeah.
You got your coffee. You're doing good.
Got my coffee here.
Yes.
Got a belly full of half-digested catfish from the slip-in. Oh,
people are going to start going there. I'll take the catfish.
I vomited out in the parking lot. It looked like chum was down on the asphalt. A catfish head laying there.
You with the whole head.
Half a boot.
Oh, man. I hope people start going to the slip-in and requesting the catfish platter. We don't have that.
I'll take the Gordo special.
Yeah,
a shot of Hennessy and
catfish
and
Hennessy
platter.
Oh, my Lord.
What a delicious meal. Oh, boy.
Yuck.
I think we should take a quick break.
All right.
Yeah, try to restore some order to this thing.
I think we should. Well, I guess since Gordo's here, we'll goof off some more before we talk Rangers. But there is a lot of baseball that we could talk about.
And rain, possibly.
Ooh, yeah.
Don't let that stop you.
That next on
The Ticket. This is the place for men and women who like to eavesdrop on the guys that are universally obsessed with sports and sex. Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Ah, oh, there you go.
Rip off your GD head.
Sit down and have a drink. What you drinking?
It's 10:52 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is the Orphanage, but today it's the fake rant because...
The Rantfinage.
Because Danny and myself have been joined unexpectedly and extremely pleasurably by Gordon Keith. Mm. Just happened to be in the neighborhood, and the neighborhood that we're in is Lower Greenville because we're at Doty's, which is right at Goodwin and Greenville, across from the Dubliner and just down the street from Blue Goose.
And the Grape.
And they have loads of TVs. They have a pretty good crowd assembled, mostly Texas fans. But if you don't have a spot to watch the game and you want to watch it with a big group of people and you want to get your drink on and have some catfish that you can later vomit onto the pavement.
Hey, that's not a selling point for a restaurant.
Then come to Doty's. This is the fantastic new location in the old Torelli strip that unfortunately burned down but has been resurrected greater than ever before.
Man, they did a good job with this building. Damn fine job.
They kept all of the important historic architectural elements and then just made it more kick-ass.
Right. Y'all been to the new Torelli's yet?
I have not.
Have you?
Yeah, great.
Good.
Wonderful.
Good.
They did a great job with
I've eaten at the roast next door as well. Very
I've
good.
I've eaten at the roast as well.
Mm-hmm. And then Doty's just, come on.
Yeah, it's Doty's.
It's the best thing of all time.
Yeah, come on.
I've eaten here at Doty's a handful of times, but I've yet to check out the other places because they're a little too fancy for me.
Somebody should have spell-checked roast before they threw it up on the
sign.
Well,
I think that's kind of the thing.
It's spelled phonetically.
Yeah, R-O-H-S-T.
Okay.
Roast. They want you to say it like that. You want to go eat dinner at roast.
Is it still that deal? You know, this got popular, I think, in, I'm going to say, late 90s. You know, you name your business or your company after the address it's at. We're 3600 because they're 3600 Ross or whatever.
Well, there was
2410.
Remember 2900, the great restaurant that was owned by Mike Smith, the awesome chef Mike Smith over across from TABC in Uptown?
Yeah.
That was a great restaurant, but it was 2900 Thomas Avenue, and they called it 2900.
Really?
Yeah.
Why aren't they still in business?
I'm sure it was a
they
horrible
had a
cocaine deal gone bad.
They had
know.
An obscure name that no one could ever remember.
It was a front for heroin. Heroin dealing?
Wow,
I don't know.
Jeez.
I don't know. I'm just, you know. Okay.
Speculating.
Yeah.
Wild speculation.
I like to guess.
Well, you can throw out whatever you want as long as you follow it up with I don't know.
Or I'm just saying.
Or I'm just saying.
Yeah, with all due respect. Which is, that guarantees you're going to get whacked if you ever say that in a mob film.
Hey, listen, Stone, with all due respect, I think you're a little bit out of line there.
We got to talking about Goodfellas on the air the other day.
Yeah.
Because George has never seen Goodfellas.
How the hell has he never seen that?
And I think it's great. I actually like Goodfellas more than I liked The Godfather when I saw him the first time. But just that tense scene of, you're funny. You're funny. What's his name? Paulie? What's Joe Pesci's character?
Yeah.
You're funny.
With the bus boy?
Yeah. No,
no,
no, no.
With
Ray Liotta.
Oh, okay.
what do you mean funny? you know, the way you tell the story. No, I don't know. What
am I, a clown to you?
What do you mean? What do you mean I'm funny? Like I'm a clown? Like I amuse you? No, you just and everybody's quiet all of a sudden and it's just so tense.
Oh, and another thing that'll get you whacked is if... Is if, like, an underling tries to make a smart-ass comment or stand up to the boss, and everybody at the table goes, oh!
Right.
Like that. Like, good job, kid. Way to go. You really told him. Like, when Michael Imperioli's Spider says something back to Pesci, and he shoots him.
Yeah.
Because it was the same scenario, you know.
God, Joe Pesci makes you so nervous in that movie.
And he's such a little pipsqueak, too, but he scares the living bejesus out of you.
Because he was just so unpredictable.
Yes, the loose screw.
Goodfellas kind of lost me when they get into the 70s, though.
Really?
I think it's great the whole way.
I don't know. The end of the movie, I just kind of lost interest. It was too long.
All right,
it's my own personal opinion.
Did you like Casino, or that was even longer?
No, I've never
that.
Seen Casino, and everyone says that is the best one.
No, it's not as good as Goodfellas. But if you like Goodfellas, you'll like
really?
Casino. Yeah, yeah. It's
Godfather
real
2 to me is the best, though.
The Godfathers are great, except for 3. You know what sucks, and it's a very unpopular opinion. Scarface, not a good movie.
I don't even hardly remember it.
It's super low budget.
Yeah, it's not good. Not it's not funny at all.
I don't think it's supposed to be funny.
Is that the one where he comes out of?
He's a Cuban.
Say hello to my little friend. And
yeah, the fake accent.
He's snorting a mountain of cocaine in his office and takes about 800 gunshots to his torso, and he's still
standing up.
Yeah.
Dancing around.
Right. Like the bullets are keeping him upright, you know?
This makes me nervous. We're in, like, drive-by territory here.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
A good thing we're protected by this bulletproof plant.
Yeah, this planter.
Jeez. This Kevlar plant.
So we're going to talk baseball. I want to
talk about your New York trip.
Oh yes.
So you went on a junket.
Yes, to New York.
All expenses and, paid.
Not all expenses.
Most expenses.
But I mean
paid?
Hotel and flight, right?
Yeah, they pay for all that. But I always do the deal where I extend my trip a day.
Yeah.
And I pay for the second night hotel and all that kind of
just
stuff.
To avoid your family for an extra day.
Well, it's
day
to
and
see
half.
Friends, you know, in New York.
And avoid
like
the
that,
family for an extra
around.
Day.
The family left a long time ago, but thanks for bringing up
sorry.
That.
Oh, no.
For me. But, so I stay there, and of course, I usually stay at the same hotel that they booked us in the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this time it was the Mandarin Oriental Hotel.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, or the Oriental Mandarin or something.
They were supposed to build one in Victory right across from the W, and they ran out of money.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to make it up in a hurry up there in New York with the prices they're charging.
Are you serious? What was it, $250 a night?
No.
More?
Let's not get into it. But anyway.
$500? Dude, you did not pay $500 to stay in a hotel.
Yeah, about that.
Gordon!
Anyway.
With all due respect,
no, I didn't want to move.
You're about
hotels.
To get shot.
But yeah, so I get there and I go up the elevator to my room and the door is open.
Uh-huh.
And there's this guy in this purple fedora and this weird facial hair, and it's John C. Reilly,
of course.
And so
a purple fedora.
I started this trick that I've now publicized, and I think it really works. It's the overly casual greeting to celebrities. That is so casual and so almost dismissive that they think they know you.
Mm-hmm. They can't place you?
Yeah. I did this on John C. Reilly. As soon as I saw him and I walked by him, just kind of glanced, hey, John, and kept going.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, hey, man, what's going on? You know, because he's in a junket hotel. This is could be like an industry person he's supposed to know.
Yeah, yeah. So he's faking that he knows you.
Yeah. So he's faking that he knows me, trying to place me.
You're afterwards. Like, oh, hey, John.
But that one was on accident, right? Is that where you discovered the trick?
Yeah, okay. I discovered it with him. And then like a few seconds later, I'm walking down this short hallway right after I get off the elevator down to my hotel room to enter my hotel room for the first time. And coming out of the hotel room right next to mine is Jack Black. He and I had basically adjoining rooms with the door
sweet
shut
mates.
Between them. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I decided, I want to try that trick again. Hey, Jack. And, hey, dude, what's happening?
Hey, bro.
He's like, hey, dude, man, good to see you, or something like that. Yeah. It was like, wow, so he's trying to place me, too.
He wants to be your
friend. This is the greatest trick ever.
Because I think they're just trained. If someone acts like they know you, then just assume you know them so you don't offend them in case they're somebody important.
Right.
Right.
And so that's what they were doing.
You look like an important person.
Don't I?
Yes.
Wearing my free T-shirts. And
you're wearing a Ronin shirt and flip-flops.
Ronin? Huh. I don't even know what that
Corby.
Is.
That's Corby.
Oh.
So do you dress up on junkets? Like when you're actually doing the filming, are you wearing like something TV presentable?
I wear the exact same thing I wear in regular life, except I'll put on a button-down shirt. The shirt is the only thing that changes.
And then they put you in makeup and stuff, right?
Yeah, right. And so sat down, and this was
Have to interview these guys all together, or
yeah,
did you get them separately?
Which I hate doing them all together. That's harder.
And how long do you have? Like 5 minutes?
Yeah, 4 minutes.
Okay.
Mine was longer because Steve Martin extended it at the end of it. He wanted to go an extra minute, and said to the producer, "Ah, come on, give him an extra minute." So we went an extra minute, so it was about 5 minutes. But it was nerve-wracking because Steve Martin
is a hero. He's like one of your heroes,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love Steve Martin.
Has this aired yet?
No. Matter of fact, I need to get the little, whatever they're called, SIM cards, compact flash cards, Channel 8 to get it edited. I haven't taken them down there yet.
So this movie opens next weekend, right?
Does it?
I don't know. I think you've got a week to put it together.
Oops. Oops. But, yeah, it was good. I mean, I think it was good. I need to go back and watch it. It's always such a blur. You know, you get out of it, and it feels like you've been GHB'd or something because you can't quite remember the details
of it. Your butt hurts.
Yeah, you just have, you know, little flashes of what happened, but you just can't recall it all.
Steve Martin hunching over your back.
Holding on to each side of the arrow that he put through your head.
While Jack Black and Owen Wilson were holding me down.
Uh-huh.
I just want to hear, here, get his other wrist.
Is that Owen Wilson?
Yeah, that's good.
So was it cool to meet Steve? I mean...
Yeah, it was extremely cool.
They were nice. I mean, that's an ass whip for them.
Oh, yeah, sure it is. I mean, think about that. They're having to sit down, and I don't know how many interviews they do in that one day, 40?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I read that piece that you sent me on Noel Gallagher.
Yeah,
it was a Chuck Klosterman. Is it Klosterman?
Yeah,
he wrote a piece on some online magazine about
on Grantland, right?
Yeah,
he writes for them.
It was on Noel Gallagher of Oasis, who's got a solo record coming out, and Klosterman was feeling kind of apologetic as he was starting the interview, figuring that. This guy has gone through all these interviews and he's probably beaten and stuff. And Noel's like, dude, I love these things because they fly me to some great city. They put me up in a fantastic hotel, all expenses paid. My wife goes out and shops. I get to just sit around and talk with people all day. He's like, what's not to love about it? And I'm sure there are some celebrities who just are so put out.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that for those guys, it's a free trip to New York and they get to hang out with each other.
Well, the reason John C. Reilly was there in the hotel, he had no movie he was promoting or anything. One of the girls from the studio that I spoke with at length that night I got there.
Sloppily.
Said that John C. Reilly, Fox has a plane in L.A., and Steve Martin and Jack Black and all those guys flew in on that. Well, John C. Reilly said, "Well, where are you guys going? New York? Hey, can you give me a ride?" So he just hitched a ride on the plane with Jack Black.
It was like the turtle.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've never really seen that show. I watched one episode, the first episode.
Terrible.
It's over. So don't worry about it.
I saw the first episode or first couple episodes, and I go, "I don't get it." That was one of those things that you watch and makes you feel stupid because the whole world gets it, but you don't.
It's the worst show that I've ever seen that I've never missed an episode of.
It's a comedy that's
really
not, it's a comedy that's not funny.
Yes.
Hmm.
But yet I watched every episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I got pot committed to it.
You're in.
It's quick. 30 minutes.
Turtle and Drama are interesting characters, and Ari is an interesting character, and you just kind of get sucked in and you want to see what happens. It was like a soap opera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's only 30 minutes, so it's not a huge commitment.
Right.
Like, I'll bail on an hour-long drama. If I'm two or three in and I think it sucks, I'll quit on that. But the sitcoms
when it first came out, it was called Sex and the City for Guys, but that's basically what it is. It's just, as a dude, you're like, man, what would it be like to be mega rich
and have
LA
as your playground,
and
essentially,
hang out with your buds and smoke weed all day and bang
better
hot
jogs
chicks.
Better jog away.
So just like sex,
you can't command her to do something she's already doing and then take credit for her doing it.
So just like Sex in the City was
like making your sister punch herself. Quit hitting yourself.
Huh.
Yeah.
Never mix sisters and fists.
Is that your advice to the kids?
Yeah. Nah, just to Dave.
Okay, I'll write that down in my journal.
It should be to Corby. Corby, remember, told us that really disturbing story.
God, no kidding.
About looking up, and he was eye level with the C-section scar. And
his parents had to tell him to stop hitting on his sister?
Ooh.
Isn't that what that story was that you told that one time?
I don't remember.
Didn't they bathe together until he was 12?
Yeah, he was bragging about that, remember, one time.
They used to play ring toss in the bathtub.
Yeah. Hey, see how many donuts you can fit on it.
Donuts. In the tub.
Just soggy, wet bread.
Corby just had all kinds of disturbing stuff he told us one time about all that. I doubt he wants us to...
Well, he's
rehash it now.
Oh, he's in the Cotton Bowl right now,
yes.
So he doesn't care.
He's got cotton mouth at the Cotton Bowl.
God, I hate, isn't cotton mouth like one of the worst things ever?
Do you think he ate a cookie?
Can't do anything
this
about
game?
It?
Yeah. Oh, did he eat a cookie?
Yeah.
Yes. You know he did.
What's a cookie?
You know.
What?
Pop cookie.
cookie with pot on it.
Pot cookie?
Yeah.
Like a brownie, but a cookie.
Oh,
is it more common to do cookies than brownies?
I guess
you can put it in.
You can do either, but I guess the cookie has become more popular as a vehicle than the brownie.
Yes.
It's kind of overtaken the brownie because the brownie is too rich. You know, you don't want to weigh yourself down.
Yeah.
When was the last time you had a pot cookie?
For the stoner on the go.
What about a pot brownie?
I do have a story about that.
Oh,
come on. It's 11:08 on the ticket. We'll hear Dave's pot brownie story with Gordon Keith.
No.
Next.
Yes.
11:18 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is The Orphanage. Dave and Danny with you live from Doty's on Greenville Avenue. Texas OU is underway. If you're still listening, we thank you. There's still time to come out here and get a good seat at Doty's, where they have tons of TVs and they have awesome food, and you can get a cerveza with a lime. And at this point, I think we need to turn our attention to not necessarily what's going on at the Cotton Bowl right now, but what's hopefully, weather permitting, going to go on
about 20 miles west of the Cotton Bowl.
Yes, over at the Rangers ballpark in Arlington, where we're going to have game one of the ALCS. And how crazy is it that we have home field in the ALCS?
That is crazy. We didn't have it last year, and things worked out well for us. I'm going tomorrow night. I can't wait. Detroit scares the crap out of me of any of the four teams left. I mean, obviously you can't include yourself, but
right.
That's the one that concerns me the most. I did find it very interesting. Did you watch any baseball last night?
Yeah, I did.
And I think it's very funny that Major League Baseball hedged their bets, putting the Rangers during the day on two of the three
Wednesday
games
and Thursday.
In Detroit, hedging their bets that Philly was going to go to the NLCS, I think.
I think the NLCS is still on TBS. I think that the reason those two day games are happening in Detroit is because
of Simon Cowell?
Fox is contractually obligated to air the X Factor those nights.
Wow.
Unbelievable. What a terrible contract that was.
I know.
It's not even getting the ratings they thought it would. And now they're having to sacrifice ALCS for the X Factor.
It is pretty funny, though, that after all of the hoopla of trying to bring Cliff Lee back, that he makes the decision to go to the dream team of all pitching staffs that are guaranteed to go to the World Series, and to see them not even advance out of the first round is pretty man bites dog. That's pretty funny.
It's the second dream team from Philly to fail.
And, man, did you see the looks on the faces of the people in the crowd last night?
They could not believe it.
In shock that the Phillies were getting eliminated in the first round by a wild card team.
Yeah, and it makes you grateful as a Rangers fan that the Rangers were able to withstand that body blow from the Rays
and ultimately
advance in that series, because the Cards are the equivalent of the Rays in the NL.
Yeah.
They had no business making the postseason, and then they went on a tear and overtook the Braves at the very end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be in the playoffs, but now they're in the NLCS.
Yep.
And how bad is Fox hating it that both the Yankees and Phillies are out?
I don't care about Fox.
I know, but I'm just saying that imagine a Rangers-Brewers World Series.
Wow.
Or even
they would hate that.
They're probably wishing for a Cards-Tigers series.
Because it's two pretty classic teams.
Yeah, it's classic teams and reasonably big markets. Even though we're probably the biggest market left.
I just don't think they want Milwaukee.
No. Who wants Milwaukee?
That would drive them crazy if Milwaukee went to the World Series.
And does Wisconsin really need a Super Bowl champion and a World Series champion in the same year?
Does Dallas really need an NBA champion and a World Series champion?
Yes, we do. We need to validate this number one sports city in America. And did you see the post-game celebration in Milwaukee last night?
No, I did not. I missed the very last part of that game.
What's his name? Morgan, the guy who had the game-winning RBI.
Yeah,
he was. They were trying to interview him on the top step of the dugout right after the game, and he was just screaming F-bombs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on live TV, just looking up at the crowd with his arms wide open, screaming F-bombs.
Dang.
Awesome.
You know what? I know it's tradition. One thing that kind of got to me last night is that, you know, baseball is the only sport where you celebrate and pop champagne when you clinch the playoffs or your division.
Right.
You celebrate and pop champagne when you win the divisional series. You celebrate and pop champagne when you win the league championship series. And then you pop champagne when you win the World Series.
So yeah.
It's like a little league team having a pizza party
after every win. It's pretty cool, though.
It is cool, but it's just like, I mean, I guess for teams like the Rangers or the Brewers who have not done it in forever or who have never done it before, it is kind of a cathartic release and you want to celebrate, but at some point, don't you feel like you want to save it?
Well, I think that because it is baseball, and I do believe to even make the playoffs is one of the most difficult thing in sports.
Yeah.
I think you know how hard it is just to get to that level. So any level that you advance, you want to savor it. You want to enjoy every single moment. Now, I'm sure do the Yankees still celebrate every time they make the postseason?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they douse each other with champagne and go nuts. I mean, I guess it's just what you do.
Yeah, I would. I don't care how often you make the playoffs. I mean, that is such a hard, difficult task, man. And Wash is right when he said it. There's nothing easy about this, and you better enjoy every damn moment.
Well, we've got the potential Cy Young and MVP winner in the American League, Justin Verlander, going tonight for the Tigers.
On full rest.
Against Siege. And hopefully Siege has his head right after that disaster in Game 1 against the Rays.
Yeah.
And you would think, going up against Verlander, he would be really dialed in. Because you know, especially being in a contract year, that he wants to put up zeros alongside Verlander. That he wants to prove he's, in his mind, he's just as good as Verlander.
Yeah, definitely. He needs to atone for the Game 1 start against the Rays, for sure. Verlander's a horse, man. I almost feel like you're going into this series 0-1. And I hate to say that because anything can happen, and we can hit Verlander. He's not superhuman. He's about the best that's going out there.
Right.
Because the guy consistently throws 100 miles an hour, and he's a horse, and he can eat up innings, and he can pitch. He can throw 130 pitches in a game if he needs to.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't watch very much of the Tigers this year, and so this will be a learning experience for me, learning their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But just what I've watched of them in their series against the Yankees and hearing about Verlander, just how, I guess in the last year or two, he's kind of adjusted the way he pitches, where he kind of warms up throughout the course of the game.
Yeah.
He used to just come out in the first inning and let fly, and then he would tire himself out. But now he comes out and his fastball in the first couple innings might be 95, 96, and then by the fourth or fifth, he's topping out at 100.
Yeah.
He ramps it up. So the second and third time through the order, he's throwing harder than he was the first time you saw him.
He's a beast, and you want to hate him, but if you've ever heard an interview with him, he is probably one of the nicest guys in baseball, too.
Yeah,
real sweetheart. But the thing that I hope the Rangers are able to do is to get an early lead. Just get a couple of, maybe one or two runs, like in the first couple of innings, because I think that ultimately will settle down whatever jitters and nerves that CJ has, because he's the opposite of Colby Lewis when it comes to that kind of Zen mentality. Now, I know CJ likes to fancy himself as a studier of Eastern, you know, arts and kung fu and crap that, but he's a pretty jittery dude, and he's a very intense guy, and I think there's a lot of stuff flying around in his head where Colby is able to, you know, he's like a very calm stream, where CJ's kind of the opposite. And the point I'm trying to make is I think a nice early lead would really help cool his nerves a little bit.
Yeah, and
because you're going to need him in this series, man. He is so important in this series.
And what the Rangers really need is that they were pretty much carried through that wild card series by Beltre and Napoli.
Yes.
And so Hamilton and Young and Cruz, one of those guys needs to get hot.
Yeah. No question. One or all of them need to get hot. You need to get stuff out of your guys from the left side of the plate with Mitch and Murphy. These guys are very important, man. You've got to get hits against Verlander.
But it's, to me, it's just so wonderful that we're still playing, and that as Ranger fans, we get to enjoy a league championship series again, even if we don't make it to the World Series.
Season's a success right now.
It truly is. It's such a downer when you make the playoffs in baseball and then you're out in the wild card round because it's over before it starts. With a 5-game series, you know, you're in and out in a week, and you feel like, oh, well, we made the playoffs. Big whoop.
Yeah.
But when you make it to the league championship series, you've done something, and the Rangers are officially on the map in baseball. They're not a flash in the pan.
Mike,
they've legitimized themselves.
Mike said it very, very well yesterday. He put it best when he said, the only thing I ever wanted as a Ranger fan was for them to be as good as everybody else, as far as, like, having as good of a chance as anybody else of winning a World Series. You know, you never felt confident in the 90s. Never felt you
always
like
knew there was the Yankees buzzsaw waiting in the postseason.
Well, you felt like, we kind of squeezed into the postseason, but can we just win one game against them? Can we just, you know, extend this to more than a sweep? Can we do that? And you were hopeful for that, but now the Rangers have every bit as good of a chance to win the World Series or to win their championship series and go to the World Series and win that as any other team that's left right now.
Yeah, and I think that goes to two things. And I think that you obviously Wash needs a lot of credit.
Yes.
But I think that you also need to credit Scott Coolball, who came in early in the season as the hitting coach. Mm-hmm. And Maddux. Mike Maddux, because their rotation is better than it was last year. Their bullpen is maybe the best in baseball, even though they had some shaky moments in the Rays series. And I saw, I believe it was in an Evan Grant article the other day, just talking about the difference between the Rangers lineup now and the Rangers lineup in the 90s is they have discipline at the plate. And in the 90s, they had free swingers who could mash the ball in the regular season, but then when the strike zone would get tight, they didn't know how to grind, and they would just swing and miss and give up opportunities in the postseason, whereas now they have discipline at the plate. They have batters who have patience, and they can wear down another pitcher's pitching staff.
They're going to need all of those things in effect, man, for this series, because Detroit is a scary monster.
I can't wait.
But they're not unbeatable. And I think the Rangers have – Mike thinks they're going to win the World Series.
I think they have as good a chance as any of the four left. I don't know how Vegas is handicapping the field at this point, but I think the Rangers have just as good a chance as anybody. I do have a fear that we're not going to get past the Tigers, but that's just my sports pessimism coming out.
I can't wait. It's going to be very, very tense and very fun, and what we've come to expect out of postseason baseball, and it's just so cool that it's happening in this town for the second year in a row.
I love the Rangers.
I do too. I also love going to break on time. And
sorry, we didn't do that.
It's not happening right now. So, having said all that, let's take a brief pause, and we'll get things sorted out, and we'll come back here and wrap things up at Doty's on Lower Greenville with the Orphanage.
It's 11:39 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is The Orphanage, Dave and Danny with special guest Gordon Keith.
Yeah.
And we're live celebrating Texas OU weekend at the brand new Doty's on Greenville Avenue, Greenville at Goodwin.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place. We're out on the front patio, and I love the way they did this place because they put the main entrance on the Goodwin side of the building, and so the whole front of the building is patio. They have an indoor-outdoor patio. And they have tons of TVs inside.
They have a rooftop situation as well,
don't they? And I'm sure they have screens up there. I haven't been up there.
They do, I hear.
They have a tent, like a kind of a canopy up there, and TVs. So this is definitely a scene, definitely a place that if you're anywhere near the Lower Greenville Hood, you should come down here and watch the second half of the game, hang out all afternoon. I'm sure that people will be partying it up into the wee hours this evening. So, yes, please come to Doty's, get you some catfish, and drink a cerveza with a lime.
Do they have catfish here?
Yeah.
It's
a Cajun
great.
Place.
All right.
The fried catfish,
blackened catfish.
Yeah.
Get you a po' boy, get you some etouffee.
Maybe some
man,
gumbo.
Man, I tell you what, I had some of the best crawfish etouffee in my life yesterday. It was somewhere else, but
I'm sure this rivals it.
Yes.
Have you ever had it here?
No,
I haven't. It's outstanding. And you're eating crawfish now?
What do you mean?
It's not even the season yet. So if you're eating, if you had good crawfish etouffee, it was from frozen crawfish because they're, not fresh right now.
It was gooey good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But I know where you went.
Bet you don't.
Carl's Jr. Is that where you went?
No.
No.
Carl's Jr. has crawfish etouffee?
They do now.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, do we have the Cirque du Soleil coming up after this? Is that?
We do.
Excellent. I'm sure they're out and about at a cool location too, right?
I don't know.
No?
I have no idea.
Mm.
You missed baseball talk, Gordon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I did?
Yeah. We talked about I hear you're way up into baseball now. I hear you're
I'm always way up into baseball.
No, come on. I hear you're the baseball voice of reason on the morning show.
I am. Always.
It's just because of Mitch Moreland, that's why.
Yeah. No, I actually got into the Rangers towards the beginning of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always liked baseball, and I just kind of got into it for whatever reason. And then, like, I didn't know Mitch Moreland was my cousin.
Yeah.
When he first joined the team.
How are you related again?
Okay, this is how it happened. I remember I was at a family party, and my mom says, I said to my mom, hey, the Rangers have a baseball player who's from Amory, Mississippi, which is where my mom's from.
Right.
And she goes,
name?
Yeah, she said, what's his name? I said, Mitch Moreland. He goes, well, he's related to you. I mean, all those Morelands up there are related to us.
Uh-huh.
And my great-grandmother's last name was Moreland.
Okay.
So my great-grandmother, this is how we're related. Mitch and I, our great-great-grandparents, my great-great-grandparent Morelands mm-hmm. are his great-great-grandparent Morelands.
Okay.
We're both Morelands.
Okay.
But my Moreland married, so her name changed, and so that's why my last name's not Moreland.
So your great-great-grandmother is his great-great-grandmother's sister.
No, they're the same people.
Yeah.
So you his great-great-grandmother and my great-great-grandmother are the same people.
Okay, so your
My great-grandmother and his great-grandfather are brother-sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have Mitch Moreland's blood inside your body right now.
Yes, I do.
That's cool.
Or he has my blood is the way I like to think of it.
Yeah.
So
technically what we would be is third cousins.
Okay.
Like my mom and his dad are second cousins.
Yes.
So you go up a generation to my granddad and his grandfather were first cousins.
So if there was a blacklight crime scene with both your and
my DNA Mitch's, everywhere.
Your and Mitch's DNA everywhere would test the same.
My reproductive DNA and his blood everywhere, yes. They would test it and go, we're not sure whose is the blood and whose is the enjoyment.
We're not sure who was murdered and who committed suicide.
Whoa.
What?
Wow.
And we damn sure don't know who's eating cinnamon rolls in here.
The better way to word it is that we're third cousins, I think.
We didn't need the
crime scene illustration to say that we are related.
Yeah.
It helps my brain process.
It does.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's the only way you can make sense of
That's the only way I can understand cousins.
He needs the book with pictures.
With the chalk outlines of bodies.
Yeah.
Cousin one was found here.
Oh, so what's your favorite Bible story of all time?
My favorite Bible story?
Yeah, let's get this thing back on the tracks.
It's got to be Job, right?
Job, but yeah, I would say Job.
Now, he was a very patient person.
He gets his whole life messed up, and mm-hmm. then he doesn't get mad at God, so God gives him an even more kick-ass life than he had before.
No, that's not the way it really happened. He does get frustrated with God because he was the most faithful guy.
God was pooping on him.
God gets bullied into doing this to a good person.
Yeah.
By the devil?
By the devil. That story is so disturbing to me on so many different levels. And I go off on three-hour conversations.
The devil can peer pressure
beat people
God.
Down at bars with three-hour conversations about Job. Let's just have sex. No, wait, hold on. There's one more point I want to make about this.
So the devil can peer pressure God.
Yeah.
That's not very reassuring to me.
Make him bully.
Yeah. And then the other story that short circuits me is
the one where the guy lives in a whale's stomach for a week and doesn't die?
No. And it was a fish, too. It wasn't a mammal that he lived in.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of fish?
Big fish.
Big prehistoric fish.
But anyway, no, the other short circuiter for me is the Abraham Isaac story.
Where he's going to whack his son?
Yeah. God basically tells Abraham that you got to kill your son.
Yeah,
yeah. If you don't, it means you don't love me.
Sacrificing right. a lamb isn't good enough. So trick your son into going up on the mountaintop.
And I just think that we
and then switch him out for the lamb at the last minute.
It's always been frustrating that we bend over backwards and go through all these hoops to rationalize these stories. Well,
good
I mean the
God
the Abraham story is a story about the Job story is a story about faithfulness. What faithfulness looks like.
I don't even know what to do right now.
That girl that won't die?
My goodness.
Boy, she was stacked out to Euless.
She said she used to work for us.
Yeah, I recognized her.
She did?
Yeah. She's
as what?
I don't know. I've only seen her face a few times.
She was a counterbalance for the transmitter tower.
Right.
How does she not just fall down on her face?
I don't know. Anyway, I love those two stories, and I'm glad they're part of the Bible.
That's good. So Job anyway, and Abraham and Isaac.
Those are the two that you grapple with. There's yeah. other stories that I like, sentiments I like, you know, what you do unto the least one of these you've done unto me, like mm-hmm. that. Another short circuit story for me is the...
The one with the beast that comes out of the ocean with seven heads and
no,
crowns
I think,
and...
You know, here's another hot biblical opinion. Why are you suckering me into this?
I'm not. I'm just asking you some questions.
I think that you could just lop Revelation out of the Bible.
Yeah? You've about had it with that one?
Well, it's just, like I said, it's the
like
red herring of the Bible.
Wasn't
it's
it written like 100 years 3. After?
Well, yeah, but a lot of them were written, you know, later.
Right.
And the earliest ones we think are the Pauline letters, you know. The, mm-hmm. Paul's letters are the earliest ones. Then Mark's the earliest gospel. And Luke and Matthew are synoptic with Mark to the three that are, you know, from kind of the same source documents and Q documents and all this kind of... It's a whole long deal. But John was written much later. That's why John is a completely different tone than those other three.
Was it written in, like, the 60s?
No. The earliest one was written in the 60s. You're talking about 60 A.D.
No, I meant like they're in, like, Woodstock.
No.
Oh.
No.
My favorite story is...
Mark, they think, was written, I think, in 62 or something like that.
My favorite
AD.
Story is when King David saws the baby in half.
Okay, you got that wrong, too. It's King Solomon you're thinking of.
Yeah.
And the baby didn't get sawed in half.
Oh.
I also really do like that story. It's kind of an interesting story that... You know the story of the baby?
Yeah.
The two women are claiming that this is their child.
This is my baby.
Right.
And, no, it's my baby.
So they say, let's
no,
take it to Solomon.
Baby.
He's very wise. He'll figure this out.
Yeah.
And so he says, saw the baby half and give them each equal portions. And one woman says, no, that's okay. Let her take the baby. Let her take the baby. She
yes.
can have it. It's her baby.
And then because she wanted the baby to stay alive, Solomon gave
Solomon
her the baby.
Solomon knew that she was the mother.
But she Jedi mind tricked Solomon.
Yes, she did.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This isn't the baby you're looking for.
Move along.
I like that story, too. That's a good one.
Let's see what other stories
are. Why are we talking
are
Bible stories?
I don't know. I'm
What's
trying
going
to
on?
Get it back to
We're trying to counterbalance
morality.
The transmitter.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I figure if we think pure good thoughts, then we won't be tempted by what just walked by.
Impure thoughts.
It still doesn't matter. Why is it that when a girl with giant boobs walks by, it just stops everything down?
Because your brain loses so much blood. There's a tremendous migration of
just,
blood that occurs.
You just pass out and hit the table?
Yes.
But you ever notice that? You have the most philosophical deep discussion, and some hot girl walks by and just like...
it goes to show you what animals we really
the worst.
Are.
We are the worst things. We're the worst
we're
creatures on this planet.
Controlled by our body chemistry.
Honey badger is better than us.
We're just lucky
right?
that Einstein didn't look out right when he was about to come up with that special theory of relativity, that he didn't look out and see some hot chick, because then we would have never had that theory.
I imagine that he probably knew that would happen, so he had his desk facing the wall.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
With like a chalkboard.
He had to put up something very unappealing in a
yes.
poster right in front of him. Like his grandmother in a, you know, in a center stance, you know.
Like
something that just is not going to produce any sort of feelings of arousal in him.
Yeah. See, the thing that makes us the worst animals is that we pretend that we're not animals and that we're above those instincts.
Right.
We're in complete denial.
But yet, you know, like when I was out in the club, I was all up in the club last night. And I'm just sitting here watching. This is what all of life is based around, just people trying to get
Peacocking.
Together and mate.
Yeah.
It's all it is.
It's all it is. Just trying to get in each other, see what each other's naked
parts
look like.
And we try to dress it up and no, no, I play music because I just didn't love it. We all kind of started just to, hey, here's something that'll make me look cool to girls.
Yeah.
Or I can get up on them.
That's,
you know, that's, there's that old phrase, and I love the phrase, that man created civilization to impress his girlfriend, and that's true. That's why we have all this.
Yes.
Men accomplish things in order to get that.
Mm-hmm. And then once you get it, you're kind of like, bleh.
Yeah, then you're like, bleh. Man, I've already done that four times. The next! Where's the next one?
Maybe I'll try dudes this time.
Why not?
I like all flavors.
All right.
Yeah.
It's 11:51 on the ticket.
Indeed.
If we're still on the air when we come back, we'll mix with Circus de Roysteins.